Hello and welcome to the True Blue LA podcast emergency trade deadline edition.
You're pulling out all the
Set
stops.
Set me free. What? Oh, that's, you were doing something else. Eric, Jacob, we're here. So you
just
texted me.
Yeah,
you
deadline.
Texted me Thursday morning-ish, early afternoon, I guess.
If we get Chad Wallach, we do an episode. That was the text.
No, you said emergency podcast tomorrow, and I like had just woken up and immediately was checking Twitter and
what happened?
And nothing had happened yet.
I set you up poorly for that. I apologize.
Yeah, but something happened later. I'm sure everyone's aware, but I'm going to tease it anyways. So we're going to talk about the Dodgers' big trade, the Dodgers' smaller trade. Probably some trades that happened around the NL West, all of that after this.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Do you think there's anyone listening to this podcast actually waiting on bated breath on what the trade was?
Like,
no.
if I don't put it in the subject or something, you know, like there's a big picture of Max Scherzer and Trey Turner on the page. They're like, I don't know. Although some people just listen, so maybe they don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But yeah. This trade deadline was weird all around. Like, not just the Dodgers, but like Major League Baseball. It seemed like, just very generally, teams were a lot more willing to part with prospects.
Yeah.
We've seen in the past, like we went over like a month ago, all the deals in season by Andrew Friedman. And it was like, what, four top 100 prospects from the year before were dealt at the deadline. I think five, if you count Hector Oliveira, who was just signed that year. And it was always usually quantity over like quality, for lack of a better term. But this year, like all around, like teams are parting with like top 100 guys, top 50 guys. And then, you know, like the weird part too is how the way everyone's so online, and the life of like a rumor, and then as it gets close, everyone assumes it's almost over. Like the Padres, I think Ken Rosenthal had at first said the Padres are closing in on are close to a deal to get Max Scherzer. He worded it. It wasn't Bauer to Mets, Bob Nightingale bad. Like, it wasn't that, like, direct wrong. It was, like, clearly stating what, you know, the situation was. And everyone, like, knew that Max Scherzer had 10-5 rights, so he could veto any trade. Like, so if he really wanted to go somewhere, he could sort of steer it in a way. But, yeah, and that was, what, Thursday? I want to say, like, afternoon-ish?
Yeah, afternoon.
And then, like, the rest of the day was like, okay, what's going on? Like,
and no names for who the Padres were had came out.
Yeah, exactly. And then so at this point, it's like, all right, well, there's, you just have to figure like, you know, it's not done till it's done. And this is a weird deal because of the 10 and 5.
And I was, when that came out, I was as a rational sports fan as I get. You know, I'm fairly ho-hum, except for when it comes to being nervous in the playoffs. And then it's all out the window.
You're Jerry West.
But in the offseason, you know, whatever, you know, root for the team that you got and all that. But I was mad that the Padres got Scherzer. I'm like, man, these are already really intense games. Scherzer tends to always pitch pretty dang well against the – he tends to pitch pretty darn well all the time. But, you know, just have so many memories of him just being dominant. He's such a one of those guys that, like, throughout – he's just so fun to respect. And, like, he's just so good. And like, so that for him to be on a team that the Dodgers would be facing in intense rivalry games, not something I was looking forward to. And he was only Dodgers really need a starting pitching, and he was the only great name out there as a rumored target.
Yeah. So imagine I forgot whatever series it was where earlier in the year where the Dodgers, a lot of them said, they just were, like, way more intense than we were, you know. Mm-hmm. No one likes to hear, like, they played harder than us. It wasn't, like, that direct, right? It was more like they just really brought it to us, right? But, like, literally nobody out-intenses Max Scherzer. if he's on the Padres, like, that's going to be just, like, it's insane. But, so that's going on. And, you know, obviously, J.J. Preller, like, has been, like, kind of masterful in terms of, like, it seems like they made so many trades since, like, last year's deadline through the offseason, like, almost acquiring, like, an entirely new starting rotation. Some of those guys are hurt. But, and it seems like every trade is, like, oh, and the Padres didn't give up any of their top 10 prospects, you know, and they have, like, had last year, like, the deepest system in the game. Maybe the Rays were better. But, So they clearly had the capital to, like, get this done if they wanted to. But then, like, as the day sort of wore on, like you said, no names really leaked. And then it was like, oh,
report came out that, like, you know, it's not done yet and the Dodgers are waiting, you know.
Yeah. And then, like, oh, yeah, like, the teams are, you know, still in there, you know, that kind of a thing. Like, and then, like, later Thursday evening-ish, I want to say, that's when the reports started to come out where, you know, Dodgers are closing in, same thing, not finalized, but, like, closing in to get Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. Like, what? Like, this took a turn. Like, we talked, like, with the last two episodes, we like, they clearly needed, a starting pitcher. You know, they had Clayton Kershaw make one start in July. It was, like, the first, I think, July 3rd. They obviously haven't been with – they haven't had Trevor Bauer for a month. They've had, like, basically fill-in starts and some bullpen games. But, like, they've only had, like, 7 games all July of a pitcher throwing 6 innings, and I think it was, like, 13 throwing 5. So they're, like, barely getting by. They're really taxing the bullpen. Kershaw is supposed to come back next Saturday, possibly. But they – even with that, like, they needed, you know – some, like, more stability, I would say. But, like, so you get that for sure in Max Scherzer, and also, like, you get a guy who's going to start in October now, too. Like, that, it wasn't necessarily, like, on the docket. Like, it would have been a nice sort of luxury to have to get that. They really just, they did need someone to get through the season and try to win the division, because they're trailing, by, as we record this, by 3 games. In the National League West, so they dropped the last 2 series against the Giants, so that was rough. So they have some playing catch up to do, but man, what that I did not expect that. So it happened, but then the other aspect is where the prospects come in. They gave up not only Keibert Ruiz, you understand, right? Like, catcher blocked by Will Smith. I don't want to say blocked by Austin Barnes, but he's, you know, he's kind of blocked by Austin Barnes, right? Like, if, like, Ruiz was still in the organization and he was doing so well where, like, they had no choice but to bring him in majors, you know, we've seen them, like, dispatch beloved veteran catchers who aren't necessarily producing. But I think they like so much of what Barnes does behind the plate, and he's not as much of a zero offensively as he was for a couple years. So, like, it's a little more defensible. But, like, you know, there was less of a chance for playing time for Ruiz here. But then also Josiah Gray, who made his major league debut last week, he pitched twice for the Dodgers. He was in the deal, so there's four players in the deal. I thought it was somewhat funny. The Nationals, I think Mike Rizzo said today that both Ruiz and Gray will be in AAA for them. And it's like, why? I mean, look, I get Ruiz was in AAA with the Dodgers, but like, yeah, like, really? You have that much of starting pitching where you're not going to have Gray?
They traded 30% of their major league roster over the last 2 days. Maybe three days. But
now that was an executed sell job. Like,
yeah.
They were like, and we talked about that like back like 2 weeks ago when we talked about the pitchers that were available or the pitching needs and pitchers who were available. Were like, well, look, the Nationals are under 500, but it's also a weak division. They think they're in it. And then I think they got swept by the Orioles last weekend or something. And like that sort of sealed their fate in terms of where they stood. And I think they, once they finally realize that, they're just like, you know what? and so the other aspect of this, which made the price go up, is, you know, Scherzer, last year of his contract, the typical sort of person who gets traded at the deadline. But Trey Turner still has an arbiter next year. They're not a free agent until after 2022. So you're getting, you know, two postseasons out of him, in theory. and then one and a half seasons, like, generally. And he is a very good shortstop. We'll see where he plays with the Dodgers. We don't know yet. I have an idea he'll be the guy who's moving around. But in the event that free agent Corey Seager decides not to return and or free agent Chris Taylor, who can play anywhere, if he decides not to return, you know, I don't see a scenario where that happens, but we'll deal with that later. But they have a backup now, like a backup plan in terms of, like, they have a shortstop next year, like a very, very good shortstop, like, without doing another thing. So that's a positive, right? Like, that's a huge thing. And, like, the way they sort of set this up, you know, they're spending so much money this year. They still have a lot tied up to next year. They have some, obviously, the big free agent decisions like Kershaw, Kenley, Taylor, Seager. But, like, you know, it's kind of a couple-year run here. They re-signed Turner for 2 years. Like, Muncy's under contract. All the, like, a bunch of guys, Bellinger's still around. Well, he's not really hitting. But, you know, like, I think that sort of played into it. Like, just being set up for that. So, yeah, so that was the shocker. Like, I guess, what was your initial reaction when you sort of, I guess... When did you become confident that it was, like, going to happen? Like, for the
Dodgers? I think when Passan tweeted something like that the deal was close, because he's, you know, Rosenthal has, like, been a little bit more willing to be, seems like not Ron, but like aggressive, mm-hmm. and I'm sure the Padres and Nationals were close. I'm sure he, yeah. like you said, wasn't misreporting, but a little bit more eager to pull the trigger on when something's close but might get held up. And I feel like Passan has been a little less to do so. And that made me feel, and also I think shortly after Passan tweeted that, you got confirmation that Max waived his no trade clause. And I don't know if we'll ever find out exactly why the Padres deal didn't happen. Yeah. If it was not as close as maybe the sources initially reported, or, you know, possibility is Max said, if you can make the Dodgers happen, make it happen. Again, we have no idea if that's the case, but that's a possibility because that was another factor that never came out. I think you saw something that was like, it's left to medicals and it's left to the no trade clause waiver. And then nothing ever came out that, yeah, Max approved the Padres. A report came out earlier in the week that any of the NL West destinations were his preference, but I don't know how much veracity was behind that.
And I think too, like you said before, the fact that none of the prospects from the Padres were ever, like, mm-hmm. reported, like, it makes you wonder how far along that was, right? Like, so, and that was interesting, too. Like, I think for me, it was definitely confidence late last night, Thursday night, and then, you know, thinking it was just a matter of time before it, like, gets finalized. So I think, yeah, I think it was that. But then it was just interesting to see the sort of progression, because I think around the time the reports were coming that the Dodgers were going to get Scherzer and Turner, the minor league games were starting. So then it was just, it was check lineup time. I think J.P. Hornster reported that Keibert Ruiz was scratched from the lineup from AAA. I looked through the other three domestic affiliates. Rancho hadn't started yet, but AA outfielder Donovan Casey was also pulled out of the lineup. So those two ended up going in the deal. The other one was Gerardo Carrillo, a pitcher who has been on the 40-man. We talked about this on a few episodes this year where I don't know necessarily why he was on the 40-man. He's a guy who was in AA, walked a lot. He's hit a lot of batters through control issues. But I think the point is, like, who was really going to take him in the Rule 5 and have him on a major league roster all year? I don't think he was that advanced. So it was a little weird that they put him on the 40-man. It's come back to bite him mostly because of injuries and perhaps more than they anticipated. But those 40-man spots have been precious, and he's been sitting there with one, like, all year. So that's been a little bit hard. But, yeah, so... Yeah, it was just, I mean, I don't know. I tend to tune out a lot of people online, but especially the ones who are like, when is Friedman ever going to do a big deal? It's like, pay attention, man. Like, what have you been watching? But anyway, like, this certainly qualifies. Like, and it's always moving the goalposts. Like, so it's just, there's no real point in arguing with any of those people ever. So, like, it doesn't really matter. But then even, like, Plaschke a couple days ago wrote that the Dodgers should get Scherzer because Friedman failed to get him, like, when he was a free agent. It's like, all right, calm down. but then there was a line, I think John Wiseman pointed out, too. Full disclosure, I did not read the Plaschke article. I skimmed it because I was like, this is ridiculous. There's a couple ridiculous things in there. But one of them was, like, with the chance to clinch their first full season championship in 33 years, like, fuck off, man. That is the dumbest shit I've ever heard. Like, it really, like, it's just every year it's just something, like, there's just no object permanence. Like, what's going on here? I don't get it.
What was your reaction, I mean, you're acting surprised, but you should back up, because it was on this podcast just over...
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, where you were confident the Dodgers should also get a right-handed bat. And that this is, I'm sure, the kind of player you were thinking the Dodgers should get.
Yeah. Well, I didn't expect
him to
get, like, all-star level bat. Like a guy...
With another year of team control. Third.
Yeah, like, that was a shocking thing. I think even there was someone, you know, the comments around this time of year, there's just a lot of, like, you know, trade speculation stuff, and it's just not my bag. So, like, it's fine. But, like, someone had mentioned,
go ahead.
There was an MLB Network report, and it was like a wild list. I think Lux was involved. That's going back to Plaschke for a second, just to pile on. He mentioned, like, Lux and Bellinger, I think, like, as part of the trade. It's like, all right. What are you talking about, guy? But anyway, there was some crazy offer on MLB Network, and I missed. Someone posted it in the comments, just like talking about it, and I misread. I did not even register that Trey Turner was in that deal, and I was like, "Why are you giving up all this for a deadline deal?" Like this, I talked about, like, you know, previous years. Like, no one ever gets this in a deadline deal, you know? And then he's like, well, oh, it's also Trey Turner. I was like, oh, I didn't even see that part. But then even that, I was like, that seems a little far-fetched, you know? It's like, and then, of course, it happened. But, like, yeah, Trey Turner is excellent. Like, well, the other wrinkle in this, right, is he's on the COVID IL. He was pulled from a game Tuesday with the Nationals, and they had their Wednesday game canceled. He was placed on the COVID IL Thursday. He's in quarantine, I believe, now. Has to go through protocol, still quarantine, and then I believe, pass at least two negative tests. I forgot the time frame for that. But he's probably not going to be, like, active with the Dodgers till next weekend. Don't have a firm timetable on that. The COVID IL is kind of open-ended. You have to pass a bunch of protocols before you can get activated. It's not, like, set in stone 10 days or anything, but it's a little weird. But I was looking at the just the timing of all this, too. Like, if you just want to put it in more context, the Dodgers activated Corey Seager today. We're recording right before the game starts against the Diamondbacks, and this is Corey Seager's first game in 1 day shy of 11 weeks. So you get Corey Seager back. Mookie Betts is probably going to be activated Sunday. So, again, coming off of an episode this very week where we said we're going to retire the phrase full strength, I want to preface, I'm not saying the Dodgers are at full strength or close to it, but I just want to, I wanted to point out, now I had to fudge a little bit. This is National League ranks in WRC plus. So 100 average, if you're like 150, that's roughly 50% better than league average. If you're below, it's worse. Now, so I lessened it to 250 plate appearances mostly because for Will Smith, because most catchers don't qualify because they don't get the, they have more days off and all that kind of stuff. So I did 250 plate appearances for now. Here are the Dodgers batters, major league ranks. Max Muncy is second with 162. Justin Turner is 11th, 142. I was surprised at this, that he's third on the Dodgers, but 14th in the National League. Mookie Betts, 138. Trey Turner, 16th, 137. Chris Taylor, right there with him, 137. A.J. Pollock, 21st, 135. Will Smith, 131. He's 23rd. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's 7 Dodgers batters in the top 23 in WRC plus. So like all at least 30% better than average hitters. So yeah, that's something. Like, we're back to the point where, again, want to stress, who's going to sit, you know, that kind of thing. Cause every time you say that, it always solves itself with an injury, but, the Dodgers really do have, some like playing time decisions to make, and we haven't even talked about the fact that Gavin Lux is currently on the injured list, and like he really doesn't have a spot when he comes back, except for maybe bench, or like part timer type thing. So the other issue is like Cody Bellinger has been like in a horrific slump, like all year. He's also been like injury plagued. He's been really good on defense, that's why he's been in the lineup, but also because they haven't really had options to sit him occasionally at least. So maybe that becomes more of an option if he doesn't really pick it up. You could platoon like him and Taylor, not a strict platoon, but just give Bellinger more days off. Otherwise, like Pollock is always going to rotate, I think, in and out and get rest days. Taylor plays wherever. You know, Trey Turner, probably they're going to talk to him, I guess, but probably going to play second. He's played some outfield in his career, but like not for a few years. He's fast enough to play center. You figure if Seager gets days off, he could play short. Obviously, Taylor can play short. Like they can maneuver around. So it's going to be interesting to see how exactly that sort of plays out. But it's one of those, if you hope that it gets to that point, because then that's a great problem to have, because obviously you're choosing between which really good players do I play rather than can I field a lineup tonight,
right?
Like three good hitters or something. So that it really is like kind of amazing, like how it all came together, because just the timing of it, like we mentioned Seager back, and like again Seager not in those top seven because he hasn't played. But certainly like reasonable to assume he's close enough to that. Right. And then, you know, Seager back tonight, Mookie Betts back Sunday. Oh yeah. They added Trey Turner. He'll be back. He'll be in the lineup at some point next week. So it's a lot. And then also Kershaw's back next Saturday, probably. So, yeah, it's, it's something. It was definitely a surprise, but like I did not see this. I can't say I saw this big of a deal coming.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Anything else you wanted to add from the... Oh, the Dodgers made another trade. How about that?
Yeah, I was going to say, I wasn't sure exactly how to transition into it, but yeah, the first trade they made... Well, okay, here's the other thing I sort of hate about this trade deadline.
Uh-huh.
So Danny Duffy comes first on Thursday, and I think this was after the Padres are close to getting Scherzer. So everyone's like... That's it? That's all they're getting? And meanwhile, we're still like 20 hours until the trade deadline, or maybe 24. And so it's like, all right, calm down, guy. Like, how many times have you seen on a trade deadline where there's no trades the day of the deadline? They all come, like, you know, Fast and Furious on a Friday or whatever, or on the day of. So, yeah, like, and also, I guess the funnier part, it's not funny because he's injured, but he has like a triceps thing. No, that was Scherzer. I forget why Danny Duffy's on the injured list right now. But he's probably not due back until September. So it's like, ugh, Dodgers traded for an injured pitcher. That's perfect, right? Like, that's the whole thing. But the one weird quirk, I believe this started in 2019. But there's no more August trades. Like, there's just one trade deadline now. Just July 31st. There's no more August waiver deals. So you basically have, like, someone like Duffy is just a, let's get this guy now. If he works out, he works out. Otherwise, you know, it was a worthy gamble. They got Duffy from the Royals. He's in the last year of his contract. He's been a starter. It remains to be seen whether he's going to be a starter or reliever. Given that he's out till September, I would imagine the main way he's going to help, if at all, is going to be in the bullpen. And he's a left-hander, pretty good stuff. So he's making $15.5 million this year, the last year of a deal with the Royals. About $5.5 million due the rest of the way. The Royals are sending some cash over in that deal. I'm not sure exactly how much. They only got a player to be named later out of the deal. They get to choose from a list of names over the next couple months. But the other sort of aspect that, like, back to Duffy for a second, he'll help probably if he's healthy, but yeah, more like sort of another David Price like type, I would imagine. Stuff is a little different, I would imagine, but you know, we'll see. They'll see what they have, and
left
if he works out,
strain, works out. By the way,
that's what it was. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. So yeah, like that's the thing. So the other thing is the money was a lot. Scherzer is Scherzer's making $35 million this year. Technically, well, that's his salary. He's not getting paid anything because the last 3 years of salaries are all deferred by the Nationals over like the next 7 years. But so $12.4 million roughly is left. Now the Dodgers will eventually pay that. From a competitive balance standpoint, because of the deferrals, it's down to something like $10 million. That the Dodgers are taking on as a CBT number. Trey Turner is a $13 million player, so he's going to be a big arb guy next year. Like, he'll be in the $20 million range just for the 1 year deal. He's due $4.6 million the rest of the way. And Danny Duffy's at 5.5 minus a certain amount. So you're already looking at, it's like $22.5 million if the Royals send no money, but they're sending some. So let's say roughly $20 million discounted with Scherzer's deferrals. You're looking at adding like $17-18 million to the competitive balance tax, which was already in the upper tier. So like even if the like Bauer situation, let's say he gets suspended like the rest of the year without pay, and it cuts like half of his salary off this year from a competitive balance standpoint. Again, just want to preface, this is not the important thing with Trevor Bauer. I'm just showing an example. Even then, the Dodgers are still in the upper tier of the competitive balance tax. So not that you should care. I'm just pointing out where they're at. So they're looking at a well over $250 million payroll. Depending on how things shake out, it could be like 275-ish. That's if, like, with nothing happening to Bauer's salary. The only reason I bring that up is because his salary is weird this year. I still haven't gotten an answer on this. Because of the his opt-out and the way he could get paid, like, more if he opted out and things, his salary this year is treated as a single payment bonus in November. So, like, normally when that happens in a deal, like if someone gets a signing bonus and then you get, let's say you get suspended or something that lops your salary, that signing bonus is treated as separately from salary. So I'm not sure if that's the case with this bonus, but if that's the case, you could see a scenario where like he's suspended for half a year, but because of his salary isn't a bonus, does he still get it all? Like that's a weird thing. I don't know the answer to. I haven't found that out yet, but I mean, that I'm just trying to point that out from a like just a total payroll thing. Like even if Bauer's salary doesn't count against the cap, they're still going to, or the portion of it, they're still going to be in that highest tier. So, you know, we sort of harped on this a few years back when they cut back a little on spending in 2018, 2019, staying under the luxury tax. And then, you know, they said like if there's a situation where, you know, we spend, like, we're doing it to reset, and then they spend, and then they went out and got Mookie Betts last year, they would have had a competitive balance tax had there been a full season, but because David Price opted out, they ended up not paying it. But then this year, they've blown over it, like they've spent. So, like, they deserve, I think, the benefit of the doubt from, you know, from previously. So that's part of it. But yeah, that's sort of the other aspect of this that's a big factor. Like we haven't really seen them add that kind of this much like salary midseason over the last
and in a trade deadline years, where there was a decent amount of money changing hand potential with prospects being propped back up for the Dodgers to take on in the big trade, at least all of the cash just kind of furthers that point.
Yeah, look at the like the Yankees, right? They added Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo, and in both deals, like the Cubs and the Rangers paid like not all, but almost all the remaining salary to get better prospects, because the Yankees are trying to stay under the competitive balance tax this year. So it's like you can see where that's a little bit frustrating for those teams. But like just in general too, like today was like, it was such a busy trade deadline. Like, what, Chris Bryant went to the Giants, Craig Kimbrell, went to the Cubs and like, I'm sorry, to the White Sox from the Cubs. And like Nick Madrigal was part of that deal, who's been in the majors. So like there was a lot of like high prospects, dealt, and like, I think the Marlins, they traded Starling Marte to the A's. In a awesome, like, sort of challenge trade, one-for-one for Jesus Luzardo, who's been in the majors and kind of struggled, but, like, has really, really good stuff, once a top prospect, but now, like, you know, struggling. So, like, you rarely see those kind of deals, but it seemed like there was just so many just deals of teams, like, willing to trade prospects. Not every team, mind you, but, like, yeah, there was a lot of those, and I think that made it, like, kind of more intense than usual.
So Dodgers are three games back on the Giants. Giants add, as you mentioned, Chris Bryant. Dodgers add Duffy, Scherzer, and Turner. Padres were 5.5 back of the Giants going in today. They added Daniel Hudson.
They added Adam Frazier the other day.
Yeah, there we go.
And then the other one was Jake Mariznick today, outfielder.
So,
and then the Giants also added Tony Watson.
Right. So what was a, you know, already an intense division increased even more so. I think it's fair to say the Dodgers got more better than the other teams, but they're also three games back.
The technical term, yeah. Right, they had to. Like, they have to, right? Well, that's the other thing that I think people tend to waste a lot of time on. They're like, well, the Dodgers are the favorites. You know, they're still the favorites. Like, the projection systems all expect them to win the division, and they very well might. Like, they have a very good team. But, like, at a certain point, like, who cares, like, who's the favorite, right? They have to win. Like, they haven't, like, they literally have not been in first place since April 28th. The Giants are going on I think today is two straight months sitting in first. So like, great. You know, if you're the favorite, you still have to to win. So like, and even no matter what happens, these three teams are excellent. If it ends up the way it does, like two of them are going to have to play a one game playoff just to get to the other, to play the other one in a series. So like, it's wild, man. It's going to be a fun, like, last 2 months and kind of hectic, I think.
Well, any other thoughts you had before we sign off?
Not really. This was kind of a quickie one. We decided to do an emergency episode because, you know, I think our general rule is if the Dodgers acquire a three-time Cy Young Award winner, a future Hall of Famer, we will do a podcast about it very soon after. So that's our general rule. This offseason, when Clayton Kershaw has a free agent and they do re-sign him, like, well, if they don't re-sign him, we'll have the Pitchfork podcast where we just it's going to be the most explicit episode we've ever had. But, yeah, like, that's you know, it's a special situation, so we wanted to do an extra podcast this week. Hope you had a fun trade deadline, everybody. We'll talk to you sooner than normal next week.